September 14th, 2014 represents the 200-year-old writing of the Star-Spangled Banner. That was a lawyer by the name of Francis Scott Key. He penned a song 200 years ago that I'm sure you are aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song. And they float over our minds and our lips. And we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Here's the story behind the song. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonists had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." You see, the British were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, September 12, 1814, in a rowboat, he went out to his boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached the conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you. Tonight you are free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies. You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, and out of your chains." As they went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and said, "We have a problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" And the admiral said, "Well, Mr. Key, tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort McHenry?" He said, "We're gonna remove it from the face of the earth." Francis Scott Key said, "How are you gonna do that?" The admiral said, "If you will scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little boats, and he said, "That's the entire British fleet. All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. The admiral said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." Francis Scott Key said, "You can't shell that fort. That's a large fort. It's full of women and children. It's predominantly not a military fort." The admiral said, "Don't worry about it. We've left them a way out." And Francis Scott Key said, "What's that?" The admiral said, Do you see that flag way up on the rampart? We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered. And you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, how many ships? Francis Scott Key said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. Bam! Bam! Francis Scott Key says, the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said, suddenly, the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling, every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and said, your people are insane. What's the matter with them? Don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key, he remembered what George Washington had said. Washington had said, the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. The admiral went on to say, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying the prayer, God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag completely nondescript in shreds. The flagpole itself was a crazy angle, but the flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort McHenry to see what had happened. And what he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits, and when hit, had fallen. But men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said, what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song. The National Anthem of the United States of America, 200 years old. A couple of years ago, we were doing a live show in Villarica, Georgia, and it was in conjunction with a Tea Party event. And we were doing a rapid fire like we always do. And I noticed that the line was long with people who wanted to ask a question relative to rapid fire. And there was one gentleman who kept going to the end of the line. End of the line when we said we can't add any more because we were running out of time. He kept going to the end of the line and end of the line, and finally he got up to the microphone and I asked him to introduce himself, and he did. He said, my name is Lewis and I'm a Marine, and that a lot of people don't know about the fourth verse of the Star Spangled Banner. And he just broke out in song.
Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven rescue. Praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. Star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
That was live at a live Herman Cain show in Villarica. Lewis the Marine. I got a chance to meet him. And that rendition of the fourth verse of the Star Spangled Banner went viral on the internet. Lewis, I hope you're listening, my friend. And I hope you're still singing to inspire the patriots of this great nation. You're listening to the Herman Cain Show.